From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. That you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua as he brings the next portion of a message called Holiness, the Expression of Faith in God's Promises. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 92 and verse 4. Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. Do you believe that your sins are forgiven and that Christ has made a full atonement for them? Then what a joyful Christian you ought to be! How you should live above the common trials and troubles of the world! Since sin is forgiven, can it matter what happens to you now? Luther said, Smite, Lord, smite, for my sin is forgiven. If thou hast but forgiven me, smite as hard as thou wilt. And in a similar spirit you may say, Send sickness, poverty, losses, crosses, persecution, what thou wilt, thou hast forgiven me, and my soul is glad. Christian, if thou art thus saved, whilst thou art glad, be grateful and loving. Cling to that cross which took thy sin away. Serve thou him who served thee. I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let not your zeal evaporate in some little song. Show your love in expressive tokens. Love the brethren of him who loved you. If there be a Mephibosheth anywhere who is lame or halt, help him for Jonathan's sake. If there be a poor tried believer, weep with him and bear his cross for the sake of him who wept for thee and carried thy sins. Since thou art thus forgiven freely for Christ's sake, go and tell to others the joyful news of pardoning mercy. Be not contented with this unspeakable blessing for thyself alone, but publish abroad the story of the cross. Holy gladness and holy boldness will make you a good preacher, and all the world will be a pulpit for you to preach in. Cheerful holiness is the most forcible of sermons, but the Lord must give it to you. Seek it this morning before you go into the world. When it is the Lord's work in which we rejoice, we need not be afraid of being too glad.
For my sin he was wounded, for my guilt crucified, for my debt paid a ransom, for my straying he died, for my acts of rebellion, for my deeds full.
Save from his anger.
there's no condemnation, now there's no penalty. Now he is my Savior, I sit at his feet.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it.
Thank you.
Just prior to the crossing of the Jordan River, Joshua commanded the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." The first thing Dr. Cairn stressed about this particular command is that it was given to God's people, not to sinners. It is the redeemed of the Lord who are called unto holiness of life. Failure to do so results in the forfeiture of God's blessing. Then this is a command to comprehensive holiness. Believers are to separate from sin in all its manifestations, both in their personal as well as in their public lives. Not only so, but they are to keep separate, not to return to worldly living. With God's command to sanctification also came glorious promises of the Lord's presence with his people, of the removal of every obstacle, and of protection from every danger. Now to continue this message, holiness, the expression of faith in God's promises, here is Dr. Cairns.
"Let us go forth therefore unto Christ without the camp, bearing his reproach." That is sanctifying yourselves. Now that's comprehensive holiness, and that's the command. But thank God, with the command there's a glorious promise. And this is a promise that has lived with me this week, and indeed much longer than this week, but especially in these past days. This is a verse that has kept reverberating in my mind. It's a promise from God in his word that has been for me a support, a stay, an encouragement, a director. "The Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourselves, and the Lord will do wonders among you." Now, these people had already seen great wonders in the wilderness. But this was a new class of wonders the Lord was talking about. What the Lord was talking about here was something that would take their experience of him to a level it had never been at before. It would let them taste things they had never tasted before. When he says, "The Lord will do wonders among you," he was first of all promising the Lord would go before them, and he would give them a new and a nearer sense of his presence than they had ever had before. My friend, that is a wonder I covet for my own life, and it's a wonder I covet for this church's life. A new and a nearer sense of the presence of God. Can we expect it? Sanctify yourselves. The Lord will do this wonder because in Isaiah 66 verse 2 he says, "To this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." I'll give him that new and nearer sense of the divine presence. When the Lord said he would do wonders among Israel, he was promising that he would make every obstacle a means of their progress. Now it's easy to say that, but let it sink in. He would make every obstacle a means of their progress. For example, the Jordan. The Jordan, as I said last week, at the time of harvest was in spate. It was overflowing its banks. There were floods. And though the river normally was quite a small one, at this time it was impassable for this people. So what did the Lord do? That was an obstacle. He simply made it a means of their progress. Dried it up, and over they went. Take the walls of Jericho. Enormous walls. An imposing structure. An impregnable city. So what did the Lord do? He collapsed them into the ground. They went forward. Take the case of Joseph. In Genesis 50 verse 20, he said to his brothers, "You thought evil against me." That's an understatement. "You thought evil against me." They intended to murder him. They hated him with a virulent hatred. "You thought evil against me. You sold me into slavery. You pretended I'd been killed by an animal. You tricked my father. You wanted to defraud me of my part of the blessing. You wanted to cut me right out of the family. You thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. God made the obstacle a means of his progress. Without what his brothers did, Joseph would never have been in Egypt, and Joseph would never have been ruler of Egypt. He could have said the same thing to Potiphar and to Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife meant to have him put to death when she falsely accused him. But God turned it for good. Take the case of the early church. Every device that was aimed against them, God just turned it around and made it a means of their progress. That's why they were rejoicing in the midst of persecution. They were rejoicing in the midst of opposition. In fact, they were so glad at that time that they said to the Lord, "We thank you that we are counted worthy to suffer." That's a very different mindset from anything that we know today. When we suffer, we tend to say, "Lord, what's wrong? Why am I being singled out?" When they suffered, they said, "Thank God I have been singled out." Now, we have to admit that the mindset is very, very different. But the reason is they had grasped this. And they were living in the joyous experience of it. That God made every barrier a means of their progress. My friend, that will be the same with us. As we sanctify ourselves, God will make the obstacles a way for us to overcome and go forward. He was promising he would protect from every foe and every danger. Sanctify yourselves, and the Lord will protect you. The Lord will keep you. I was reading this past week in Psalm 125. "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about them, about his people from henceforth and forevermore." I thought of the words of Zechariah in chapter 2 and verse 5, where the Lord says, "I will be unto her as a wall of fire round about, and I will be the glory in the midst of her." God protects a holy people. Even when it appears he allows his holy people, as he did in the early church, as he did, say, with the Waldensians, as he did with the Huguenots, as he did with some of the early Christians in England and Scotland and other places, when he allows them to be put to death for their faith, for them all he's doing is bringing them to glory, but through them he's promoting the whole cause that they had at heart, and he's bringing the church into victory. He promises to defeat every enemy. He promises to bring his people into the full possession of the land. He promises that he will complete his purpose of grace in them. This is a wonderful thing. Listen, "I'll do wonders among you. You sanctify yourself, and I will complete every promised and purposed blessing for you." Remember what he said to Jacob? In Genesis 28:15, "Behold, I am with you. And I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." You sanctify yourself, and God promises that. Let this church take this command seriously, and God says, "I will not leave thee until I have done all that I have promised and spoken of." Paul says he was confident that he which had begun a good work in the Philippian Christians would perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. But as I thought of this great promise, "I will do wonders," I thought, surely this means that God would reveal himself in his power and in his glorious fullness. And as I pondered that, I thought to myself, this in reality is an Old Testament Pentecost. That's what God's talking about. Sanctify yourselves, and I'll do wonders among you. An Old Testament Pentecost. Now when you come to the New Testament Pentecost, it's exactly the same thing. The Lord Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father. There were 10 days of waiting on God. What was that? Sanctify yourselves. And I'll do wonders among you. What wonders He did. Both in the Old Testament and in the New. He revealed Himself in the fullness of His glorious power. And again, I would bring it to your attention. This is something that we as God's people need to be deeply, deeply interested in. This is something that we as a church need to take ever so seriously. The realization of the promise of God's power. The reality of Pentecost. Do not be fooled by charismatic delusions. But on the other hand, do not, as so many Bible believers seem to have done, do not shy away from the mysterious doctrine of the fullness of the Holy Ghost and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost with revival blessing, just because it has been counterfeited and brought into ill repute in a charismatic delusion. Let me tell you, if this Bible's true, and it is, there is such a thing as the power of the Holy Ghost in every generation. There is such a thing as an experience of God's power whereby the gospel is irresistible as it goes forth, and the meanest instruments are used to obtain the greatest results. I was reading just last night of the conversion of the great English hymn writer, Augustus Toplady. Toplady grew up in England hearing preaching, good preaching, strong preaching, Bible preaching, Reformed preaching, and he remained unconverted. He went on a journey over to Ireland. He went into a little village, a little hamlet. You wouldn't find it in the map. Irish people wouldn't even know its name. It's so small. It's so insignificant. He went into a meeting. It was like a barn meeting. And in that barn-like meeting, in that place that wasn't even a church or a chapel, he saw a man get up to preach. The man was so illiterate he could hardly read and write his own name. But he gave out the gospel that night. A poor, poor instrument indeed, but with the power of God. And the man who was unmoved by great scholarship and great theology and great preaching, great worship services, that man was mightily moved and gloriously saved by the power of the gospel. I want to tell you, my friend, God revealing Himself can take the meanest instrument. How was Spurgeon saved? Saved through the preaching of a man who could do no more than repeat the text and repeat it again and repeat it again and stumble for 10 minutes or so and grind to a halt. He was no preacher by any stretch of the imagination, but God used him to save the greatest preacher the English-speaking people have ever had. How many millions are in heaven through Spurgeon and his verbal preaching, the pastors that he trained, the books that he wrote, the sermons that he printed? How many millions are in heaven? Only eternity will tell. But never forget the poor illiterate practically, the poor useless case who had the power of God. Oh, that's the promise. Sanctify yourselves. And there is power. There is revival. There is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.